Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to Wisdom Walk here on Black Hole Radio. I am your host and guide, Jojo Pamaria Nsoroma, and tonight I am beginning a three-part theme and three-part broadcast on the theme of the road to divine love. You know, I couldn't help myself after talking about the road to happiness. I'm like, oh, and it's June, busting out all over. I just had to say, okay, I've got to talk about love. I've got to talk about divine love this month. And so it's my great pleasure to be here with you on this June night to do just that. But first, I'll give you a brief overview of Wisdom Walk, which is a personal development resource for your mind, body, and soul. Mind Ministry is any pain that is not transformed will be transferred. So the essential goal of my shows is to support all you listeners out there with learning how to recognize and release any pain that is blocking your experience of fulfillment in life, or what I like to call having your happy endings in life. And every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, which would be 5 p.m. Pacific Time, I broadcast live. And I'd like you to know that in addition to listening through your computer or other gadgets that access the internet, you can listen to this live broadcast right over your phone. And that number is area code 563-999-3089. Again, that's 563-999-3089. Also want to let you know that the archive link that you have received for the show, either through a Constant Contact email or on my Facebook page, Wisdom Walk Radio, that link will be the archive link. So if for some reason you're interrupted during the live broadcast or you want to share it with someone you know, you can use that link and do that later. So now I invite you to sit back and join me for an exploration of the inner landscape where you can connect to your soul and discover the true treasure of being human. Now, every week, I like to start off by honoring the ancestors. And, you know, the times we're living in, we need all the help we can get, physical and non-physical, to keep navigating through such a time of great change. You know, this is going to be interesting when the history of this time is written about. It's going to be very interesting. So we are really, you know, dealing with a lot of unprecedented things. Kind of reminds me what it must have been like for people when the light bulb showed up, or cars showed up, or washing machines showed up, you know, where agricultural society was just really being turned into what we call a modern society. This time we're living in has that kind of feel to it. So I think it's just really important to remember those agricultural ancestors and beyond, so that we have some grounding. We have some grounding about the fact that, guess what? We're not the first ones to go through this kind of deep, transformational, radical change, which this nature year we're in is truly bringing in so many ways. Oh, my God, I can't tell you. It's just so amazing. So I'd like us to just take a moment to remember those ancestors. And tonight I asked you to focus on the ancestors, the people who lived on this earth plane before you, who loved deeply. Think about the love stories in your family or among friends or in your community. It can also be people you've never met before. Could be celebrities. Could be historic figures. But think about that. Think about those ancestors that really demonstrated deep love, deep, deep love. And we're going to call out to them because in this month of June, which is noted here in Western culture for being the month of weddings, a time of union when people are coming together to spend their lives together, at least make that great attempt, taking on responsibility and commitment. So thinking about that deep love. And so ancestors, 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 we are calling out to you. You who have loved deeply, to come and be a support to us so that we know that it is so important that we have that in our lives. And that this deep love doesn't have to just be between intimate partners, but it needs to be between parent and child, siblings, coworkers, doctor and patient, strangers, that ultimately, if we're going to move into a world where we are all the same, meaning that we're all human, and that we can honor and have reverence for each other's cultures, for each other's beliefs, desires, that we have to know deep love. So help us, help us, help us. This is the only way we're going to prevent atomic annihilation or other really horrific things that can happen when humans forget it's all about the love. So we're calling on you and we're thanking you, thanking you, thanking you for bringing us to a deep and higher love in our lives. And Creator, God, I ask and thank you for the blessing of the ancestors supporting us in deep love. In the name of all that is holy, I say amen. Ashe Aho Asa Shinka Bisilan, so it is. I love talking about love, and most people who know me or have worked with me or have sat in circle with me, I believe they know that because I just love talking about love. I think it is so, so, so important. So I'm going to share with you some elemental wisdom for the week, see what the medicine wheel has for us. And a little bit of what's happening astrologically, although we're getting a big break right now, which we're so grateful for. And then I'm going to get to talking about love, talking about love. So elemental wisdom for tomorrow, which starts our elemental week. It starts on a Monday this year. So from the 4th through the 10th, we are going to be in a mineral week. And mineral is about purpose, and purposeful communication and connection, you know, that these are the things that really, really bring us alive. So the opportunity this week is about remembering your purpose and allowing the power of love to remind you of whom you truly are, what you really want to do, have, and be in your life. This week, follow your heart and soul consciously and take the necessary risk to experience your true power and uniqueness. Yes, yes, yes. Very, very wonderful. And, of course, you know, our pain bodies are always going to try to give us some distractions. And so here's the ones you want to look out for, be on the lookout for, and really avoid. I'm not going to say try to avoid. I'm just going to say avoid this coming week. And number one is choosing to stay in confusion. You know, it's probably not common to hear that being confused is a choice. Because confusion is a condition that you don't have to stay in. It's something that's supposed to pass. So if you find yourself waddling in it, know that you have a choice. You do not have to stay in confusion. You can ask for clarity. You can ask for, I need to remember my purpose. And the universe will go to work on it and bring it to you. Another distraction, engaging in melodramas. I think, you know, television has done probably more to create the use of melodrama in our lives more so than anything I can think of. Even the movies of the 1930s and 40s didn't do it as bad. But television, because there's just so much coming at you 24 hours a day, it's often easy to think that life is about melodrama, but I've got news for you, it's not. So avoid that. And you know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about melodramas. You know that he said, she said, and who's doing what, and all the gossiping, and just mess. Stay away from it. It's not a good use of your time and energy. It will not get you to your purpose. another distraction, taking on problems and challenges that you can tackle, but which are not for you to do because they are not in alignment with your higher purpose. I think all of us at some point do this. We get involved in things that really aren't supposed, we're not supposed to be involved in. So just watch out for that. And it can be a little thing, too. You know, like somebody is seeming like they need some help, but they haven't asked for it, and that you go and jump in and start helping them, you know, but it's not for you to do, you know. Fear of failure, another distraction. When you are focusing on purpose, there is only learning. There's only learning and experiences that help you learn. And so sometimes an experience of failure is required for you to learn something that is going to get you to your success. So shift fear of failure into the requirement to learn. And last but not least, procrastination. Procrastination. That's another choice. You know, we can choose to just come up with excuses for why we can't do what it is we're supposed to be doing, why we can't, you know, follow through with our commitment to do something that we know we need to do. Now, and this is very different from being in a depression or really being in so much anxiety that you really just get shut down. Now, this I'm talking about is where you're avoiding and you won't take the time to really look at why are you avoiding doing what it is you need to do. So these are the things that will distract you this week from allowing the power of love to remind you of whom you truly are, what you really want to do, have, and be in your life. Next Monday, June the 11th, we'll begin a water week, and I'll tell you all about that in the next broadcast. Now, astrologically, we just had last Tuesday, the 29th, a full moon in Sagittarius. Full moon in Sagittarius. And, you know, leading up to that moon, I felt really some powerful stuff. But once it came through, it things kind of mellowed out, you know, and some of it is because, you know, May is a month of endings going into new beginnings in June with some more endings, you know, graduation time both in May and June. But I think you felt that. I think I know I did. I felt that like, okay, something's coming to a completion. Some chapter is coming to a close. And so there's always good rest. There's always good rest energy with that. So I think we got a little break. I just want to share this from Lena Stevens, who does the PowerPath website, and she does these wonderful monthly forecasts. And so the one for June is about discipline and the discipline we're going to need to keep moving through. But she says that the full moon at the end of May was a perfect setup for this month, supporting us to take stock of where we are, what we want, our true values, what needs to change, and how we may get there. So this month of June, she says, provides us the opportunity to show up and follow through in action with the realizations, understandings, and truths we now have about where we are, what we want, and what we need to do. Now, this next phrase that she said, I love her for because it really helped me get clear about what was going on with me. She says, there is nothing wrong with you if you feel totally inept, discouraged, lethargic, apathetic, and depressed one day, and then enthusiastic, energized, hopeful, and inspired the next. I love it. In other words, you know, don't beat up on yourself when you may be feeling a little off. Those are just feelings, you know, either coming up from inside of you and coming out, or feelings around you that you're kind of feeling, that are moving through, just don't be attached to it, basically is what she was saying. Don't be attached to it because you'll feel that, but then the next day you're going to feel great. So right now we're still in this kind of a back and forth as we're settling in to get more clarity and more understanding about what these great changes that are taking place in society, in the world, and in our lives personally are really about. So hang in there, hang in there. We won't have any more astrological goings-ons until the 13th of June when we get a new moon, and I will definitely be sharing information with you about that at that time. So, now I get to talk about love. And I want to share with you a little bit about why divine love. And then I definitely am going to talk about what my definition of divine love is. I also talk about why we need divine love relationships. I'll talk about what is purpose, and by that I mean higher purpose in relationship. Why do we need that? And then about how do you open your heart to higher purpose? What is that about? What's that really about? But I want to start off with divine love and why I think that is so important. When I was younger, like, you know, most of us when we're young, just had a longing for romance. And one of the movies that helped shape that for me, there were so many, but one that I really remember and to this day just really admire, it's a great piece of cinema. It's called, the film is called A Man and a Woman, and it's a French film that won the Oscar for Best Foreign Film. That year it came out, and it had a lovely music to it written by Francis Lay, and it was a beautiful theme and wonderful acting. It was just, and you know, it's like what we would call now an independent film. And it was really done on a very low budget, but it was just phenomenal. This is just a lovely love story. So this idea of romance is something that, you know, we all have when we're young. But as we grow and develop, we realize that romance is more of a call to divine love. It's a call to it because, you know, something's got to get you into taking the risk, you know, because otherwise we wouldn't take it. Nobody wants to be so vulnerable with another person. Nobody consciously, rationally wants to do that because the risk of heart being broken is there. And so it's so much easier to not really open our hearts. But romance is designed to help you with that. Romance is kind of that catalyst, that pull. It pulls you in, and you'll take chances just to experience that notion of romantic love that you have in your head. You'll want to play, if you're a movie buff like me, you know, you'll want to play out these scenes like, you know, everybody wants to play out the scene in Casablanca, right? You don't want to play that out. But in the dimension that we live in and who we are as human beings and what we're really here for, it's really all about purpose. It's not just about the romantic experience. But the romance can lead you to this experience of divine love, which is something that goes beyond just the two people involved in the relationship. It goes beyond that. It's It's designed for something more, meaning it has an impact. It has an impact. It's impactful for those around it, those who get to see it. And so divine love isn't, too, it's not just about two people coming together, whether they're heterosexual, homosexual, transsexual. It doesn't matter. It's not about that. Or even three people coming together, you know, because there are people who do live in multiple partner relationships and do it very well. But it's about how this divine love, this sense of there's purpose in this, it gets translated into every relationship that we have. And so between parents and children, there can be this divine love. And you know it when you see it, you know. Like there's something inside of all of us that really, really knows what divine love is. It's inherent in us. We were born with it. We were born with it. But as we know, you know, there can be things that happen in your life, especially as a child, that can close you off to that notion, to that feeling. Because to me, divine love isn't an intellectual exercise. It's a feeling. And so when we are in the presence of it, we can feel it. We can feel, we know there's something more going on here. What is this, you know? And again, like I said, it can show up in all kinds of relationships and in all ways. It doesn't have to just be an intimate relationship. It can be between a parent and a child, between between coworkers and colleagues, between, you know, a CEO and the person who scrubs the toilets, you know. It can show up in many, many, many ways. So I think it's important for us to have a consciousness about the fact that that exists. Because I think for persons who think that romance is it, and so when in a relationship, the romance seems to go out, you don't bring me flowers anymore, you know, it can seem like there's no relationship. But reality is that the divine love may not be showing up in a romantic way. It may be showing up in another way. So to me, it's something we need to be conscious of and to understand it, to experience it, to learn about it, and to teach about it so that you don't have to wait or you don't have to miss out on it, that you could actually consciously, the second time, the third time around, actually open up to having the experience of divine love, that you can put that on your list of these are things I want to experience in life. Oh, man, I think if more of us set that as a goal, it would just be amazing. And so let me talk a little bit about, again, what divine love is, more specifically. So I define divine love as relationships rooted in higher purpose and experienced with higher consciousness. So in other words, the two people or three people or whoever coming together know that there's a bigger purpose here. There's something more going on. And the experience of the relationship is with a consciousness about that. It's a consciousness about that. What divine love is not, it's not about pleasure seeking or survival. And these are usually the two most common reasons why a person would go into a relationship. They want pleasure, physical pleasure, you know, or it could be, oh, this person can gift me with things and that makes me feel good, or take me on a cruise, you know. Or it's a survival thing, like, you know, I need to be with someone so that I can get my rent paid, and I need to be with someone so that I can become the kind of adult that I want to be, whatever. But that's not divine love. That's not divine love. Divine love, the thing about it, too, is that, you know, pleasure-seeking and survival relationships, they can grow into divine love. They can grow into that. But divine love will never, it will never revert back to pleasure-seeking or survival. Now, I think most people go into relationship when they're young, out of pleasure-seeking and survival, because it's a developmental issue, you know. It's a developmental issue. But I believe that the relationships that survive after the pleasure-seeking and the survival issues are no longer what someone is seeking, are relationships that have been evolved into divine love. I witnessed that in my family with my grandparents. You know, they came together during Jim Crow South in Wilmington, Delaware. And they both had very painful childhoods that they came from. And so, and again, you're going along too with what society expects. You know, respectable people get married. And they did, and they had children. And then the survival stuff really hit because they got married in 1929. Oh, my God. Right when the stock market crashed. And so their early experience of marriage and committed relationship was depression and then into war, into World War II. And so I know that there were points at which both of them were like, I'm done with this. I am so done with this. Like, you know, just get on each other's nerves and, you know. But they were able to make that shift into divine love. And I remember one day, and I must have been, I must have been in my early 20s, because I was very blessed to grow up with my grandparents, and I got to live with them until they died. And so I got to see them age. And I remember one day I was upstairs on the second floor, and they, and I think I had come home, or I was probably about to go out to Studio 54, but I had left something upstairs, and so I went upstairs to get it and could glance into their bedroom. And I saw them laying arm in arm in this hug in their bed together. And I was like, I was shocked. I was like stunned. You know, because you're thinking in mind at some point, right, older people, they just stop that. You know, they're not into romance anymore. They're just glad that each other, you know, is there or whatever. But I bore witness to an expression of love between them that said to me, wow, they really love each other. They really, really love each other. And also, too, as they, as my grandmother in particular began to deal with some serious health challenges, my grandfather was such a caretaker for her. It was so beautiful to watch. He made sure she ate. He made sure she had what she needed. She was a double amputee eventually because of diabetes. And he would make special chairs for her and, you know, just whatever she needed, he was there. He was there to really support her through a very, very harrowing process. Because my grandmother loved to go. She loved to go. And her going was really going to the store and taking care of the family. She loved marketing and, you know, going out and buying us stuff. You know, she was amazing. And so it was really, really quite challenging for her to be impeded in that way. And so my grandfather really, like, just stepped in and just was like, no, you know, I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to be your rock. And so that you know you don't do that with someone out of obligation only, or maybe at all. I think you really do that out of a deep love, a very deep love, a very divine love. So again, the difference is with divine love that it's not just about this pleasure seeking or survival. You know, I know at one point my grandparents got that their relationship was important to the family, and to my mom and to me and my brother and sister. Like, they knew that their being together, you know, had purpose for other people. It wasn't just about them. And that, it's just amazing because I benefited from their higher purpose in being together. I benefited greatly, you know, from that. And the whole neighborhood did, because they were the kind of, my grandmother created the kind of family that, you know, were very open to being of service to people in the community. If people had problems, they could come. If they needed food, they could come. My grandfather was always fixing on other people's cars. And, of course, they never charged anybody anything. It wasn't about that. It was about, you're my neighbor and I'm going to help you. And so, yeah, it was just really just wonderful, wonderful to bear witness to and to learn from, to learn from. So why do we need divine relationships? We need divine relationships because pleasure-seeking and survival relationships do not take us to our happy endings or fulfillment in life. That's the bottom line. And most relationships that end in divorce will be relationships that have been rooted, or again, to me, the roots don't take hold, but it's been about pleasure-seeking or survival. Some kind of codependency going on. They don't seem to last. Divine relationship will. It will take you through the long haul. It will get you through the long haul. I want to read to you quickly this little excerpt from an article I found. It was written in 2005 by a Corrine McLaughlin and a Gordon Davis, and it's called The Deeper Side of Love and Relationship. And they talk about soul partnerships, and I thought that their explanation was aligned with mine and what I understand about divine love. So I just want to share this with you. Soul partnerships, they say, where the purpose of the relationship has a higher dimension of service to the world in some form. It's important to keep the energy flow between the two people in balance with the energy expressed in service. So basically, these soul partnerships, it has a purpose, this higher purpose, it's some kind of they're serving something. It's not just about the two people, but it is important that the two people don't neglect themselves and how they communicate and how they, you know, come together physically, emotionally, intelligently, that also is supported and fed and nurtured. So in other words, the purpose and the two people really make the relationship. It's all intertwined. It's all intertwined. He says they say this can be seen as a flow of energy around a triangle with one person at each point and service as the third point. There shouldn't be too much focus on the service aspect without sufficient energy also devoted to maintaining and deepening the relationship between the two people. Wonderful. Every relationship offers you the opportunity to discover the unique beauty and gifts of that individual. Everyone has something they can teach you, either in a positive, helpful way or in a negative way. Each relationship is an opportunity to open your heart and connect with the soul of another person. I like that. I really like that. I think this is what divine love is really about. And so, in essence, divine love, there's going to be messiness. There's going to be messiness, but the messiness is part of this whole process of how you're in purpose, but at the same time, you're supporting each other, you know. And so there's a messiness, but it's a necessary messiness, you know. Let me talk about why we need higher purpose in relationships. And the quick answer to that is that it enables us to experience fulfillment in relationship. And just as it was said in that article, you know, purpose is the third element of the partnership. It binds the relationship together. And I believe that's important because of the ego and personality disruptions that are generated by our pain body. So, in other words, people who come together for a divine relationship, they're not saints. You know, they got issues. They got pain bodies. There's some pain inside of them that hasn't been resolved. So if you don't have a purpose to anchor the relationship, to bind it together, when those pain bodies start going off, man, oh, my God, like, forget it. It's done. It's done. But when there's purpose, then when the disruptions come, the ego, the personality, whether it's like a jealousy, whether that is extramarital affair, whether that is responding to things in the way that the other person thinks you should be, whatever's going on. If you've got purpose, see, then there's something that enables you to want to work through the process. Want you to work through the process because ultimately whatever's going on is really bringing up stuff for you. The other person, what's going on with the other person that you don't like is really bringing up stuff for you. And so if you've got a purpose to the relationship, then you are more able, more willing to work through that, you know, because, you know, relationships are for growth and evolution. That's what they're for. So knowing what the purpose is in the relationship is so essential to getting to fulfillment in the relationship. Getting to fulfillment in your relationship. Now, not every relationship is going to be a divine relationship. Let me be really clear about that. There are relationships where it is just about pleasure seeking. Or there are relationships that people come together to survive. If they have to do that, or situations occur which makes it like, I need to do this. But like I said, both of those kinds of relationships can evolve into a divine relationship. And how does that happen? How does that happen? And that leads me into talking about how you open your heart to higher purpose in a relationship. Now, understand, this is a process. It does not happen overnight. In many cases, it can take years. It can take years for this to happen. But if you at least have a consciousness about it, you have a consciousness about it, then you can begin to consciously be in the process for this. You know, basically what I'm talking about here is, you know, what sustains a relationship and why do some relationships last and some don't, you know? And so what I'm talking about is longevity in a relationship where both partners are fulfilled. I'm not talking about people that stay together for survival, you know, like feel like they don't have any other choice. Not talking about that. I'm talking about longevity where, like my grandmother and grandfather, you know, in their 80s, wrapped up in each other's arms in bed, you know, just loving on each other. That's what I'm talking about in terms of longevity. So to get to that, how do you get to that? So opening your heart to higher purpose, first thing is you have to let go of pleasure seeking as a reason for a relationship. Gotta let it go. And like I said, it's a developmental process. It really is. It's a developmental process. In other words, you have to get to a point where you realize that the pleasure seeking isn't bringing you fulfillment, that the wanting of what the pleasure is, and what you think the pleasure is, you may get it, but then you still feel like you're empty, you know. You want something more. Letting go of making anyone but God, the universe, whatever you want to call that great order and direction, responsible for your survival. Yeah. Really, really, really important one. Because if you reduce your partner, and I don't care if it's male or female, but if you reduce your partner to a paycheck, you know, to a steady income, yeah, you're not going to get to purpose. And your heart's not open. You know, that's living out of fear. Just like pleasure seeking. Pleasure seeking really is living out of fear because you're going outside of yourself in order to make yourself feel okay. And that just never works. Watch The Wizard of Oz. It just never works, never works. Needing to let go of being rescued or to rescue someone, because that's another way in which people get into very codependent relationships that do not lead to fulfillment. It may work in the beginning. It'll be nice, you know, if somebody gets to play the knight in the shining armor and somebody gets to play the damsel in distress, you know, or the knight in distress and the damsel in shining armor, you know. But at some point, guess what? That person's not going to need to be rescued anymore. No, because the universe is about growth and evolution. They're going to be at a point where they're okay. Like, yeah, I'm on solid ground now. I don't need to be rescued. But if the other person is codependently needing to be a rescuer and now this person doesn't need to be rescued, guess what? This relationship can't work anymore. So, again, letting go of codependency, really important to opening your heart to higher purpose. Now, those are the things you have to let go. So what is it that you have to let in? Well, first of all, first and foremost, you have to let in self-love and valuing of yourself. In other words, you have to take full responsibility for your joy and your happiness and for who and what you are and for what your purpose is. You have to take that on. You can't make that the responsibility of your partner or your mother, your father, anybody else. So that kind of self-actualizing is very, very much an important component of opening your heart to higher purpose. The next thing you have to let in is knowing your higher purpose. What are you here for? What is this life about for you? And being really clear about that. You know, I have met some women who really were clear that their purpose in life was to raise their family and demonstrate the importance of family, that was their purpose. And it is really clear about it. They don't see, like, it's a problem. They don't think, like, they're wasting their time and energy. And, you know, they have other things that they do and they like to do, but they're clear that their purpose is raising a family. Like, this is it. And once their family is grown, they just continue to love on the grandchildren and just to be, you know, wonderful grandparent. And, you know, so it doesn't matter what it is. It's just that you know what it is. You know what your purpose is. What is it that you're here for? Because in order to reach higher purpose in a relationship and to be willing to open your heart to that, you've got to be able to be with someone that you want to share your purpose with, who can support you in that purpose, and who they want to share their purpose with you, and you can support them in that purpose. In other words, it's got to be a mutually respectful exchange. And then that coming together creates this higher purpose for why the two of you are together, or the three of you, whatever number it is, doesn't matter. But again, it's this notion of purpose really wrapping and, you know, creating, giving shape and form, if you will, to the relationship. It gives it shape. It gives it form. It binds it together. It's like the Force in Star Wars, you know. So the purpose is what binds it all together. And especially in the face of, like I said, when the pain body rears its ugly head and starts to create all kinds of disruption and disturbance in the Force. Wow. This is some pretty deep stuff. So you can just take a moment and breathe. It's some pretty deep stuff. It's not the stuff we normally talk about. You know, normally we're just talking about finding somebody to be in a relationship with, you know, eharmony.com, you know, what do I got to do? How do I got to do it? Or we're talking about the problems in the relationship. This person didn't do that, and they didn't do this, da, 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 da. Or are you talking about leaving a relationship or the relationship you left? But to actually talk about how to really consciously make contribution to a relationship that is on purpose and full of divine love. Yeah. Really, really important to do. It used to be thought that, you know, these kinds of relationships are, you know, far and few in between. But I think that we're in a world now, and especially as women are learning more about how to value themselves, giving themselves permission to value themselves, not giving away their power just so that they can survive. I think that we're moving now into a phase in our evolution as humans where we can begin to see more divine love, you know, blossoming and growing in relationships than ever before. The most immediate one that comes to mind is the marriage of Prince Harry with now the Duchess of Sussex, Miss Meghan Markle. It's very, very clear that there is purpose to their union just through that wedding. I mean, they did such a great job of being very inclusive and culturally reverent to Meghan and, you know, and her family and her culture, you know. I thought that was really wonderful. So it wasn't just about her needing to melt into the royal family, but she's like, hey, I'm bringing you some black choir and, you know, a black celloist and a black preacher talking about love and the redemptive force of love. You know, all of that was just really, really powerful. And, you know, right away we hear about how they both have these social issues that they are very passionate about and they support each other in. So it's, you know, a relationship that really is like, oh, okay, a little something deeper going on there. It's not just about I want to look cute in front of cameras. There's something going on. So here's my personal challenge to you for this week in regards to divine love and opening your heart to it. I want you to identify at least three couples that demonstrate divine love. These can be people you know, or it could be celebrities, and it could be Meghan and Harry, whatever. But I want you to take note of three ways in which each of these three couples demonstrates this divine love so that you know it's true. In other words, how do you know that's true? And to say divine love, what's the truth? You know, like with Meghan and Harry, why do I say divine love? You know, what happened? What have they done that demonstrates that? How do they live it? How are they living out this divine love? And can you identify their purpose? What is the purpose that these two people have come together? Yeah. So I will post that on my Facebook page. But I think that's a wonderful challenge for this week for you, because the more we become conscious that this exists, then the more we're able to want to experience that for ourselves, just like me with my grandparents. You know, I want that. I want that kind of relationship. So I'm going to close out tonight by first thanking you all for listening, but I also want to thank my engineer for the evening, because I had not been supported by her in a little bit, in a while. And I'm having a senior moment because I'm blocking on her name. So hold on, I gotta look it up here. Shame on me. But you know, that's how it gets sometimes. But I do have it written down here. I'm just searching for it so that I can share her name with you, because that's important. I think people need to be acknowledged, and their name needs to be shared. So my technician for tonight's name is Nazira. Isn't that beautiful? It's a very beautiful name. And I'm just so grateful to her and her family, who run and owns Black Hole Radio, for even in this season of Ramadan, to be willing to support me in these broadcasts. Thank you, thank you so much. To all my regular listeners, especially Miss Sarah, let me tell you, Miss Sarah took me to the Santa Monica Pier yesterday, and we got on the Ferris wheel. Oh my God, it was so fun. It was my first time on the Ferris wheel too. So I've done the Santa Monica Ferris wheel with Ms. Sarah. Can you imagine? I want to be her when I grow up. That's what I want to do. It's just on a whim, on a wonderful, beautiful Saturday afternoon. Say, let's go get on the Ferris wheel. Like, yes, yes, yes. To all those who have wisdom walked with me and you know who you are, to my family, my spiritual kin, my transformational leadership colleagues, my medicine brothers and sisters all around the world, and those who are listening in for the first time, thank you. Thank you so much. I couldn't do this work without you. Big shout out to Miss Carmen Ray and Imani Ray. Sisters, you rock. You're amazing. You're amazing. Next week, I'll continue the road to divine love with creating a neutral zone. It's going to be interesting. And don't forget to check out my Facebook page, Wisdom Walk Radio, where you can find previous posts under the events file. And last but not least, I want to thank my God, my ancestors, my spirit guides, my loving entities, everything that walks with me, keeps my head to the sky, my feet to the ground, and my heart open to do this important work with and for all of you. Have a fabulous mineral week coming up, and please, please remember, you are not disposable, you are divine. Good night now.
I hope you enjoy Convergence, and thanks again for sharing this part of your lives with us. It's been a real pleasure.
Hey, sweetie.
Yeah.